The Inexplicable Case of Todoroki Shoto. Written by Alien Anarchy. Read by Greed Pods. This is a My Hero Academia fanfiction, and it features the relationship Midoriya Izuku and Todoroki Shoto. Summary. He's the stranger on the train, the neighbor you've never met. Another face in the crowd, and every single time Todoroki looks for him, he slips back again. Lately, Todoroki has been feeling like someone was watching him. Of course, a quick search of his symptoms only proceeded to tell him 100 diagnoses he already knew he didn't have. He wouldn't have been allowed to leave if he had showed even remotely positive for any one of them. Inexplicable. The obvious solution was to not leave the house. There, he was sure no one was staring. But he knew now that his days of shutting himself in the house were coming to a close. He had to go out, get a job, be a part of society again. After all, if you forget your life once, what else can you do but start over? It was ominous. The everlasting string of continuity. People laughing, smiling, talking, crying, all coexisting in a bubble of life Todoroki found himself a stranger to as he bought his groceries every week. The money came from his father. He was a cold man. He hadn't come to visit him once since he woke up. Every month, however, there would be a check in his mailbox from a man with the same last name with no note attached. He wondered if his father had been a kinder man when he knew what he looked like. He had tried to look him up once, but the man on screen stayed where he was. He too was a stranger. Of course, there had been many strangers. Strangers of all sizes and colors and personalities looking at him with eyes too kind, too knowing, too sad, too gone. Their gaze is guilty more than anything. It was clear Todoroki wasn't who they were thinking about. A missing link in the chain. They were hunters for the elephant in the room, looking at Todoroki like he could find their missing piece as they read their riddles over and over again. He didn't mean to let it happen. He tried to save you. He did everything he could. He's sorry. No names, no faces, no more talking. They stopped coming to visit one by one. He wished it hurt him more, but he knew somewhere he wouldn't miss them. He wondered if he would miss him, if he remembered him too. But now was not the time to ponder. He was looking for jobs, ones that would take an ex-hero injured but not broken. The bubble of life was everywhere, every shop and agency happy when they heard his name, sad when they heard his story, and mixed when he walked out the door. A perfect loop of routine in an uncurled mess of a life once lived. And those eyes trailed him as he walked in and walked out, as lost as he was when he went in. Perhaps it was the only person who hadn't left, trailing his shadow everywhere he went. Somehow, it felt less lonely. Somehow, inexplicable. Todoroki had a dream that night. It had been the first in a while. At first, the notion of dreams was hopeful, a chance at a memory returning, but in the end, all he would be left with were the echoes of someone screaming his name and waking up to a faint throb in his head. He settled for not sleeping at all instead. But tonight his eyes fell and the dreams finally came, gingerly grazing the feel of rough hands, voices softened by the ease of trust, and staining his eyes a brilliant green before he heard the scream again and woke to yet another migraine. He was too tired to get up and find medicine, and settled for leaning over the edge of his bed and retching until he was sure the cake he had been served today at the interview was out of his system and all over his carpet. It was tomorrow's problem. Todoroki flopped back into bed for another 3 hours of laying wide awake, until the blare of an alarm outside shifted his livid eyes from the corner of his ceiling to the digits in front of him. 4:37 a.m. The numbers were bright green. His room was still rank with the smell of vomit. He knew stores that would be open at even this hour, so he slumped out of bed, careful to avoid the drying mess on the floor, and brushed his teeth as he inspected himself before heading out to buy a carpet cleaner. His face was gaunt with eye bags, his cheeks sunken in with the evident stress of living and breathing, leaching the bare fat left of his face when he woke up. Even with the white of his hair growing dingy with the lack of care, a person at the store had recognized him the other day. He punched himself in his eye, the one without the scar, until it was purple and swollen enough to barely blend in with the scar tissue of the other. He tied the wispy tips of his hair at the back of his head and covered his hair with a hat he had been given by someone before he left the hospital. It was winter back then. His birthday, maybe. It was summer now, but the hat felt like a crown. He had never worn a crown before. If he had, he had forgotten about it. There must have been lots of things he had done but forgotten about them. The thought made Todoroki giddy. For once, excitement began to course through him. It was like a virus. He had experienced many viruses in his vulnerable state, but none he was awake enough for to remember. He ran to the window and felt the dull, humid heat lay into his face, the tired features and all, slipping between the wrinkles below his eyes and just to the base of his neck, wrapping around him, his body cool but his face warm, so warm. He had never experienced this before. If he had, he didn't remember. He leaned forward and began to move out the window onto the fire escape. He had never stood on the fire escape before. He could see the moon, and today it was only half full, half turned back into the sky. He screamed at the top of his lungs. No words, no meaning. Just pure voice from his acid-ridden throat, emptying out into the dull ambience of cars moving, insects chirping, the argument from the neighbors upstairs. He had never heard people argue so passionately before, never heard people so unhappy. If he had, the memory had dissipated from his mind like the silence afterwards. It was amazing. Everything was so amazing. He could experience it all for the first time again. He began to laugh now. Laughing felt good. He had read in a packet they gave him that forcing yourself to be happy could really create the right chemical balance to create real happiness. He laughed harder, feeling the vague screech of his voice as it cracked more and more, pushing his volume louder and louder, let the whole world hear that I'm here. He stopped abruptly. He felt those eyes again, peering at him below the holes in the fire escape. A figure. He got on his knees to catch a glimpse of him through the gaps. But they were gone again. It was like hide and seek, he remembered. Not the experience, but the words. Even the phrase was good. He read them in the window of the toy store he saw on the way to the grocery store. He could tell the figure was back below him, but he knew that looking down would send him away again. He didn't want to be alone. Todoroki settled down against the wall and put his hand through the window back into his room again, feeling the cool breeze of the conditioned room brush against his fingertips. He wasn't laughing now, his voice too raw and broken to bellow anymore. He was giggling. He had never giggled before. He watched the sunrise and felt a great emotion well up inside him. Inexplicable. Today, Todoroki was doing things he had never done before. He walked to the store and bought carpet cleaner. Then he went outside and dumped out his wallet and handed the money to a homeless person on the street. They blessed him. He had never been blessed before and wondered if the gaze on his back was really God. God. He wasn't sure anymore, but he felt ethereal. He walked into the grocery store. He didn't have any money to spend, but instead he walked up to the elderly cashier and hugged her. He hadn't hugged anyone since the hospital. The woman gasped and tried to push him away. He let go and walked away, unsure of which direction to travel, so he settled for following a pigeon that landed at his feet a few moments before. It set flight the moment he got too close, so he was forced to guess where it was going. He was sure at some point it was no longer the same bird, but he kept following it until he reached an alleyway. A group of men were standing around, each holding something to their lips. A guy there seemed to recognize him. He saw it in the flicker of surprise of his eyes. Or maybe the flicker was fire. Todoroki wanted to run away, but he was too curious to why they were lighting a fire in the early hours of summer. He was being watched. If anything happened, they would help. He was sure of it. He stepped closer and opened his mouth to ask, but forgot his voice was too gone from vomiting and laughing to speak. He croaked instead. The guy looked away from the cluster and handed him the same something they all seemed to have. A white roll. Todoroki put it close to his mouth as well, as the person who seemed to recognize him took another for himself and put the tip to the fire to light it before he had it in his mouth again like before, his chest rising slowly and falling as he puffed hot air into the balmy sun. Todoroki did the same. The tip of the roll slightly wet from the other person using it and mimicked his actions. He felt the smoke fill his lungs and choked out a cough to let it out again. His breaths felt dry and his mouth tasted acrid, but he nodded at the person before turning tail out of the alley. He didn't see him make any movements as he walked away, but he could swear he heard a noise. Like rock hitting against a brick alley with a frustrated cry behind him. Maybe he hit the wall. The mystery was in how the sound had sounded so rough, so angry, so hard. It was inexplicable. He decided to go home. He had no idea where he was. He had only ever commuted to a few stores in the area and the jobs he had applied for, which he had reached courtesy of his now-dead phone. There was nothing he could do but find the most populated area he could and ask for directions, if his voice would still work. Todoroki shifted through the crowd in search of the pigeon instead. It was easier than talking to people. However, when he finally reached a clearing of the mass of people, he felt a strange weight in his jacket pocket. He fished out a few cough drops in his credit card. He wondered if there was really a superior force that slipped it back to him when there were too many people to tell them apart from one another. That, or God himself was exceptionally short. Either way, he put the cough drop in his mouth and approached the nearest restaurant to ask for a way home. When he opened his eyes again, the driver announced they had reached his apartment again. Todoroki handed him the credit card and barely paid heed to the balance as he got out and faced the building again. He was sleepy. The restaurant had been kind enough to call a cab to his address after he had shown them his dead phone, and he fell asleep as the car went through the midday traffic. He had done lots of new things today. He was back at his apartment now. He didn't have the bag of carpet cleaner anymore, and the stain in the carpet had dried now. And suddenly, he felt the urge to speak. He had spoken before, but those were empty vocal sounds he let out to convince the world he was living. Laughing this morning, that was speaking. Right now, he wanted to speak. I want to go somewhere nice. He found a backpack in his closet and began to fill it with anything he could pack. His clothes, his toothbrush, his alarm with the green numbers, a plastic spoon he found on the counter, his pillowcase, the hospital bracelet, anything he could get his hands on filling every nook of his bag. He zipped it up with a flourish and popped another cough drop in his mouth. He was going somewhere nice. He didn't know where. But wherever the train could take him was far enough. He knew where it was now. His phone worked again. He booked a ticket on the longest ride he could find and ignored the station master's apprehensive view as he climbed up the stairs to the platform. People were mingling again in that bubble of beautiful, beautiful life. He wondered why, after all this living he had done again, he still wasn't part of it. No matter. The train was here, and as he boarded, he felt the presence of the eyes finally full force behind him. They were finally here with him. By the time Todoroki had stepped off the station, he felt the quiet search of eyes on the back of his neck, but turned to see the doors shut to an empty platform behind him. He sat down, and his vision was too blurry when he tried to take a second look as the train began to move. Another inexplicable case of Todoroki. Tears. The end.